your, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast for Sister County in the vicinity for the evening hours, mostly clear. Overnight lows will dip down into the middle 60s. Mostly sunny on Friday. Highs will range into the upper 80s. Clear skies at night, middle 60s. Partly sunny, chance of a shower thunderstorm on Saturday afternoon. Saturday's highs into the lower 80s. Then partly sunny. Dry weather Sunday, lower 80s. Looks good for Monday. Fair skies, lower 80. It's Steve Pelletieri, Jr. 40 for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Let's call it partly sunny 84.
Working way too hard on the way home.
Have some fun
with VOX.
WVOX.
We're back here on Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. Well, do we have a treat for you? Our guest today is a person whom I have learned everything I know about politics, and he is a real scholar in the area of American studies. He has a master's degree from NYU. He served as chairman of election law in the New York State Legislature, as an assemblyman from Ridgewood, Queens. It is with great pleasure that I introduce my friend and political mentor, Cliff Wilson. Cliff Wilson, welcome to Brand Talk.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Dr. Tantillo. I followed not only your career, but obviously the show, and I think it's great. I think you're doing a great job of educating those of us who didn't know much and we didn't take the advertising and marketing class. and now, you know, we're all learning about branding, which is, what is it, the new marketing?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Well, look, I subscribe to your blog, and I got to tell you, I don't always agree. But you always get me to think, and that's why I love you so much. And I mean, that's why I have so much respect for you. And the name of your blog of August the 18th, and as soon as I read it, I said, we got to have him on the show because that will get everybody. It will at least get my partner here, TJ McCormick, going. And it's called Seven Ways to Steal an Election in 2012. Right. Republicans are using all of them. So with that, why don't you go on and give us a little bit of a...
Well, at least he's original.
Let me say, this isn't just an R&D issue. Because after the Civil War, which is in another century, it was the Democrats who, in the southern states, used some of these seven methods and other methods to blatantly steal the elections in the southern states for quite a number of years from the Republicans. So this is it's seven ways that a party in power can do it. I happen to think, and I'm a liberal Democrat, but I'm not going to hide that, I happen to think that this year, the party that's in power in most of the states that are adopting some of these election law changes that I think can result.
Okay. Well,
let's... a Republican. But,
yeah.
You know.
Okay. So let's go to the first one. You say the unnecessarily voter ID laws.
Well, you know, I, as you know, John, you mentioned the election law committee. I've also served the past 2 years here in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, on the County Board of Elections. And the photo, not the voter ID, photo voter ID, and the very restricted use of only certain kind of cards, is as has been said by many, it's not original to me, is a solution looking for a problem. We have in Pennsylvania, and I'm also very familiar, obviously, with New York, very strict and very tough voter registration rules. And we have had many cases, I don't know how many, but many, in Pennsylvania, where registration has been challenged, proper evidence has to be presented, and so on. But I feel that once a citizen is a registered voter,
yes,
if we're going to have registration, we do outside of North Dakota, then to ask them to in effect do it again, you have to prove your citizenship, your birth, usually with in our state with a driver's license number.
right,
to get registered. Now you're on the registration list. And we had a law in our state that said, okay, you register. Now, the first time you go and vote, since obviously the people working at the little election board have not met you before, you have to show ID, a lot mm-hmm. of different forms of ID.
Right.
But now we come up with this new idea. It has to be photo ID. It has to be a card issued by the state. Well, you could have a card issued by a college if you're a student, provided it has an expiration date on it, which, of course, no colleges do because no college wants to put on, and you'll appreciate this, Doctor, having taught at college, wants to put on an ID card the expected graduation date. let's get real on that one. What you have is a typical case where I live. Next door to me, there are a couple. They're in their 80s. They have lived there for 40 years. They have never missed an election. Mm-hmm. They stopped driving 10 years ago. They don't have Pennsylvania driver's license. They saw no reason to get a non-driver's ID at that time. They didn't need it. They are on the list to be told, if they show up to vote, that they can vote.
Now, that's actually, isn't that kind of stretching a little bit? But are there not provisional ballots that are going to be distributed?
There are just provisional ballots.
So there we
go. What those two individuals will be required to do is to send photo ID or copies of it or bring it to the county headquarters, the county offices, rather, within 6 days of the election.
But they'll be able to vote, right?
In order to get, no, they will not. They will be able to cast a paper ballot that may or may not be counted, depending on whether they can produce the ID in our county seat within 6 days.
Wow. But that's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Look, the American brand is called democracy with a capital D.
Okay.
We've been expanding the electorate.
Right.
I'm not arguing for people who don't have a right to vote. I'm saying you're a citizen, you're 18, you meet the qualifications to register to vote, you should be able to vote without the
in the interest of time,
business of a photo.
Doc, in the interest of time, we have to hold.
Let's
we have to
go
move
to
on.
North Dakota.
Okay. We have to move on.
System.
I'm trying to facilitate here for John because you're a mentor of his, and he we have to move. I think to the next example.
But what I do want to say, I would like to ask you, Cliff, is that what about fraud?
Yeah.
How do you
that we have found in Pennsylvania, and it's been very limited, has usually occurred at the time of registration. The state attorney general's office admitted in court a week or so ago that there simply is no evidence of election day impersonation of voters.
What's the difference?
Okay.
Well, there's a major difference.
Yeah.
In other words, photo ID is to prevent you from walking in the polling place and saying, I'm John Uliano when I'm really Cliff Wilson, vice versa.
Right.
Registration ID, you send the paperwork in, and somehow you manage to get past what we have, which is a lot of rules, and you somehow fraudulently get yourself registered.
Right.
Actually, in most of those cases in Pennsylvania have been people getting paid by other people to register voters, and so they register either non-existent people or people already registered so they can get paid.
All right, so how else is my side stealing this election?
Yeah, number two is changing polling.
They haven't stolen it yet. I mean, we haven't had the election.
No.
We're just laying out some ways that they have used in the past and might use again.
By all means.
One thing that is very hot right now, as you probably know, both in Ohio, one is in Ohio, one is in Florida, is this idea of if you're going to have voter registration, let's purge the rolls based essentially on what I call profiling. Let's go through the rolls and decide that anybody who meets certain criteria obviously isn't a citizen, so let's take them off. Now, the embarrassment when 25% of the people in most of the counties in Florida who were taken off turned out to be citizens is something that is embarrassing, but it's also unfair to that 25% and to those voters. There are other ways. We have we purge rolls here in Pennsylvania.
Wait, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm sorry.
So
I'm not
New
being.
York,
I'm not being funny.
Ways
hold on.
To do it case by case.
Sir, let me ask you a question. I'm sorry, and I'm not being combative. I'm literally trying to clarify for myself.
Yeah.
You just said okay. You're this number two. This thing about purging the rolls.
Right.
You're approaching this from the are you approaching this from the perspective that it's embarrassing that one party
is approaching it from what's known as equal protection of the laws. Every
but you just said embarrassing
Florida,
or like uncomfortable, like it's unfair.
Every citizen of any state, and we'll talk about Florida, who got through the registration process and was placed on the rolls be removed in a case-by-case basis. It doesn't have to take a lengthy amount of time. Notifying that citizen of why they're being removed and giving that citizen the time to appeal to his Board of Elections and say, wait a minute, I shouldn't be removed. And I'm not bragging on Pennsylvania because that's the Pennsylvania system. Trust me, I don't brag on Pennsylvania. But the bottom line is that's not what they did. What they did, and they don't want to admit that it had to do with last names and potentially years of birth and so on, they tried to predict who had gotten through the registration rolls without being citizens. Now, if a lot of people got registered in Florida without being citizens, there's a problem in Florida. But it's not an election day fraud problem. It's way before that, and it's why the election officials of Florida aren't paying attention to who's registering.
Yeah.
Now, you can do the North Dakota system if you want. They don't have registration. Everybody shows up on election day with a photo ID and votes. Well, you know, if you don't want to have registration and you want to just say to anybody, if you got a photo ID and you can come in and prove you lived here.
What about that?
You can vote.
How do you feel about that?
We have always opposed it in the large states because we felt it was unmanageable. But if you're going to have the photo ID, why not have that?
Right. Okay. So you're not, I mean, see, this is why I like you so much and love you so much. I mean, that would take care of this whole idea of fraud, right?
It would.
Okay. See,
I don't like fraud. I don't like people. Anybody who's not entitled to vote shouldn't be voting.
Right.
You know, I've been in too many elections that have been too close involving me.
I understand
don't want anybody
that.
In there.
I was going to say that.
Doesn't
and,
have a right.
And
to
by
vote.
The way, let us also, you know, be honest here. The last time that there was such excessive, egregious voter fraud was the election that favored that bright and shining, wonderful son of a bootlegger, John F. Kennedy.
Well, position would be the last time there was real
opinion.
Election fraud and a stolen
Chicago
election.
Chicago, vote early, vote often.
Bush. Peacefully. And in 2004 in Ohio, and the Republicans stole it for the re-election.
On the scale of
you,
Chicago
you can argue
and Kennedy?
About 1960 all you want. But
oh, may I?
Thank you. That Richard Nixon, good or bad, decided not to challenge, and the fraud, if it occurred in one state,
right.
Love it.
Probably
love
in Chicago, and it is entirely possible that that's true.
Yeah, well, this is WVOX 1460 on your AM dial, TJ McCormick, Cliff Wilson, an authority on election law here on WVOX. If you'd like to give us a call, 914-636-0110. So then there's also changing polling place locations.
Well, this is one that if it happens, will probably happen late in October.
Right.
Many, many states have provisions that do allow you to change a polling place in an emergency without even going through your county election board or any kind of public notice. What has happened and certainly happened in Ohio but wasn't successful 4 years ago and could happen here, we'll wait to see, and it could happen in many states, is what you do with the week before the election is you try to change polling places, especially if you can change polling places where your opposition party, that is the opposition of whoever's in charge, does well, because there's absolute statistical evidence that if you change a polling place location,
sure,
it will reduce the turnout.
Sure.
People will go out to vote to the old place. They'll see a sign saying, you moved, and unfortunately, we live in a country where our voters take voting too much at their leisure. If they have to make a second trip now to a new polling place, right, they don't want to go.
And right, especially and the African Americans, they can't figure any of this stuff out for themselves.
Well,
thank God we're addressing.
Let me say this:
I
would say that I live in a community that's about 30-70. I guess it's 70% white and. And I would say that the people in my community of both races would probably have a problem if the polling places were changed. And I'm in the local government here. I sometimes wonder if they understand anything about anything.
Right.
So I wouldn't limit it to one race. But if I were a Republican running a Board of Elections, obviously I would change polling places in African-American districts. If I were a Democrat, I would change them in the
right
super rich districts of what we call Radnor Township, except they're all super rich liberal.
May I say, I never
Go ahead.
Ever hear, I can't think, and I'm trying to be as intellectually honest as possible, I can't remember the last time I heard a conservative refer to the population in general as being, you know, just sort of not so swift or not as thorough, or that I just don't hear that
well,
on the right.
You started that by slurring in what I considered to be a racist remark, the African American community. I was simply
being ironic. Hold on.
Saying,
hold on.
If there are black people that are stupid
don't
out there,
no, 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 no. Don't you dare.
Also, there are white.
In all deference to my partner, John,
know
in all
color.
Part, excuse me. If you didn't see the irony in what I was saying, I was being beyond sarcastic there. In a million years,
racist,
I defer.
Sarcastic.
Excuse. You know what, sir? Take that back right now.
No,
you
are, I won't.
You, no, because I wasn't. I was.
Dr. Gentile,
John. 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 What was I doing, John? John. What was I doing?
Now look.
I will not be called a racist flat out on the radio. But
I didn't call
please.
You a racist.
No, yes,
no,
you
I
just
said
did.
It was a racist
John.
Comment.
John. Please clarify what I was doing.
What I think. What was trying to be communicated here was a sarcastic approach, which really maybe didn't sound
in a million years. You think I'm going to sit here and say, oh, especially black? No, I was talking about the position being taken by the left of always needing to coddle people of color, et cetera, et cetera. So you can retract that
well,
little ditty
and
anytime.
I resent that remark too about the left being coddling people of color.
You can,
if
you,
this
but
were
you can retract it anytime.
We'd all be right. Accusing the Republicans.
Okay, now,
you can retract it anytime.
Look,
that's absurd.
How dare you?
Absolutely
my apologies to you, John,
accuse
but that
left.
Was ridiculous.
What am I supposed to do, accuse the right now of coddling people who believe in fundamental Christianity? I mean, this is absurd.
No,
yeah,
it's
well,
actually not.
What we're trying to do here.
I apologize,
let's get, no,
John.
No, no, no.
I apologize.
Look,
but
this
yeah,
is
was
the
crazy.
Idea.
That was crazy.
Is that when it comes to voter registration, you can commit a type 1 or type 2 error, and depending on a type 1 error is saying that a voter is not a voter when in fact they a type 1 error is saying that a person can vote when in reality they really can't.
Right, they're not really a citizen.
They're not really a
whatever,
citizen,
right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what Republicans have a problem with. And a type 2 error is missing, as your friends down the street who are in their 80s, what
right.
you don't want to do, have been voting for years, that
right.
are you going to prevent them for, in fact.
And I think good, solid voter registration laws, which most of the states have, go a long way to preventing type 1, and I have no problem with it. I don't want anybody to vote.
Thank you.
Who doesn't meet the constitutional and legislative and legal requirements to be a registered voter.
Right.
I'm not one of these people. I think there may be some European countries that are talking about letting anybody who lives there vote.
Right.
I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
Well, then why do you approach? So. But you know what? If your goal it's is just, supposed to be the same as everybody else's goal, which is to just have everybody voting who should be voting and also mm-hmm. to encourage turnout, why do you approach it from the perspective that an election is trying to be stolen?
Because there is no other excuse for some of these things that are occurring in 20 Republican states. And because in Pennsylvania, anyway, we have a very honest Republican majority leader of the legislature who announced that the voter ID bill was passed as part of an effort to carry the state for Romney.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that was his announcement,
all right.
not mine.
Well, where can we pick up? Where can we read the whole?
What?
Where can we read the whole blog? What is your blog site?
Oh, it's called Cliff Notes. And what's it called? It's called, I think the URL or the web is Wilson's Notes. blogspot.com.
Okay, I'm going to put that on my Brand Talk link, and people can, in fact, read the entire bit, which I thought was interesting. Listen, thank you so much for this very, very provocative discussion, which I knew it would get.
We knew it would happen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I'm going to do my due diligence to for the holidays send you a sense of humor.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
How he doesn't get the joke is stunning to me. Either he got
really,
the joke,
I
or he's completely
you,
disingenuous and is just taking the opportunity to call me a racist. One or the other.
Okay. Thanks, Cliff, for coming by.
Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye. And that was Cliff Wilson. Are you okay?
The one thing. I just can't believe, you know, I just sometimes, John, you have my apologies. That man holds a very special place. But you know what? This thing about a race, come on. A racist joke. That a racist statement. I was being this is when I get into the
right.
weeds. Was it ironic or was it sarcastic or facetious? I was being facetious. That was the word.
Well, I mean,
oh, for crying out loud.
Now cut that out.
Oh.
All right. Well, folks, it's the perennial time.
Did you know that?
But doctor, yes.
Yes, thank goodness.
Did you know is where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, did you know that?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, did you know that? We take this world filled with iPods and countless devices for granted. But it was the request of one man and the tireless imagination of a team that made this world possible. The year was 1978. A Japanese executive wondered if there was a way to listen to his beloved operas on the long trans-Pacific flights he frequently took. He turned to his top engineer, Nobutoshi Kahara, for a solution. What Nobutoshi delivered was groundbreaking, a lightweight cassette player that could produce extraordinary sound quality. The executive recognized that what had begun as a solution to a personal need would have universal appeal. But right off the bat, he had a big problem. People simply weren't used to wearing earphones and carrying their music around with them. The device risked becoming a flop. His team took to the streets, parks, and subways of Tokyo. They got people to try the device, and when they did, they bought. The product was its own best advertisement. Within a year, the player was flying off the shelves around the world. The company was Sony. The player, the legendary Walkman. One of the best-selling audio devices of all time. And the one that kicked off all those gadgets that we now make part of our lives. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
You like that one?
You know why? Because that was one of the first brand-specific items that kids in my generation had to have. I didn't want the Magnavox portable music player. I didn't want the one by Panasonic. I wanted mm-hmm. the Sony Walkman.
And by the way, like the grocery cart...
Mm-hmm.
At first, it wasn't accepted.
Mm.
It had to be shown.
Right.
People had to sample it.
Yep.
People had to feel
those
it.
Iconic little foam-covered headphones. They were so, the little orange, they were orange or yellowish. I remember they were distinctive looking.
But you, TJ,
yeah.
I don't have to tell you that young people are very, very... influenced by what their peer group
they want to keep up with the Joneses.
So if you know am I going to be the first one to wear these headphones?
Right.
I might look like an
idiot.
Right. So they had to get the people
that.
To in fact sample it.
Goodness gracious.
And you know this whole thing about sampling it brings me back Ridgewood, Queens, 1967, Joe and John's Pizza. A hot summer's night mm-hmm. in June, and Joe and John's opened up for the first time.
Mm.
And what they decided to do is get people to sample their pizza. Free pizza. The line went around the block.
Right.
You can have as many pieces as you wanted.
Wow.
And you loved it. And they built a fan base or a customer base.
Right.
They're there to this day.
Yeah.
In 2012. Joe and John's right across the street from High Hawk Bird's Queens Liquors on Myrtle Avenue. We'll have to go.
Unbelievable.
We'll have to go. And not too far is then Rudy's Pastry Shop that your wife loves the jelly donuts
Oy
for.
Oy vey. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Jelly donuts.
So we'll have to do a memory lane one of these days. But the takeaway here is the importance of observing what people want and then making it easy to deliver that to them so that they won't look foolish.
Yeah.
You know, and once again, when it comes to life and when it comes to being the brand that you want to become, it's never giving up.
Yeah.
I mean, you just
that is the constant thread.
That is the constant
for
thread.
For a year now.
Yes.
Almost.
Yeah.
Or beyond. Right.
Yes.
No, not quite.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. No. No. I mean, you know, it's the well, in the first few shows, I talked about Winston Churchill.
Yes.
Never give up. That's what that was his lecture to the students of Eden.
Yep.
You never give up.
Right.
You know. And I mean, it's really, really, and as my producer Jonathan always likes to say, you know, the only difference between those who succeed and those who don't are the people that succeed. Just never give up.
Right.
And, you know, it's always a challenge to be there. And anyway, in the last few minutes of the show, I've been I love, by the way, I'm one of those people that love television commercials. And there's a few commercials that have gotten my attention. And I really like, I don't know if you've seen them, TJ.
Yeah, I always wonder if I've seen the ones you have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's interesting because we are a little different demographic, but not really. But anyway, have you seen the Target commercial, the Target commercials?
Which one?
Well, it's the one where the husband is going to buy roller skates. And the wife is there, and the husband has the roller skates, and the salesman says, have you ever roller skated? And the husband says yes.
Uh-huh.
And she says no.
All right.
And the next frame, and he says something like, you don't know everything about me. And the next frame is a frame of Target with a bell where he falls. It's going.
I didn't see. No. Okay. Oh, that sounds funny.
With a photo of aspirin. And it's Target, you know.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Okay, so it's that kind of, and they've done a few of those, and they have a kid having a lot of fun, and hey,
I thought we were doing 3 hours today.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I have a clan meeting to go to.
Is that right?
I have a clan meeting tonight.
You do?
Well, if he has you're Cliff.
Not gonna
Flip.
Cliff.
Cliff.
Now behave yourself.
Sorry.
I told you to behave yourself.
I tried. He called me. I apologize.
You don't. Look.
I'm incorrigible.
It's your brand. You give true meaning to go brand yourself. This is John Tantillo.
See you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks. John Tantillo, TJ McCormick saying 3 weeks. The difference between success and failure. Is never
your
giving
official
up.
Summertime station.
It's just a fun station to listen to, especially in the summer.
WVOX and WVIP HD4 New Rochelle.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Ball.